From WWNO, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Each and every week, we talk to people in Louisiana who've devoted their lives to music. We want to hear about their experiences and listen to what they're listening to, because that's where our music comes from. This week, Louisiana-born Marsha Ball and the secret to making your piano turn a profit.
A friend of mine years ago, a guitar player of mine, told me, if you can make them dance, money will become a space problem.
Marsha Ball is the Duchess of the Dance Hall. So let's boogie. You know you want to after the break. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. When Marsha Ball walks into a room, attention must be paid. And you guessed it, Marsha Ball has walked into the room. As a singer-songwriter and piano wizard, Miss Ball has enough Grammy nominations, Blues Legend Awards, and Hall of Fame inductions to cover the flatbed of a pickup truck. But awards don't make a career in music last. Songs do, and Marsha Ball has given fans across the country and around the world plenty of songs to dance to, cry to, and make love to, depending on the party.
I've been kissed, loved, squeezed, and teased, but never like this before. You got me tagging behind you, running on my knees, pleading and begging for more.
Oh, that stuff, but that stuff, I'm gonna tear the whole place up. I got a little too little and a lot too much. That's enough of that stuff.
From the beginning, it was just you and I. And oh, you don't believe me now. You come around.
Where do you go when you can't go home? What do you do when things go? You can't go home.
Marsha Ball lives in Texas, but we don't care because she grew up in Louisiana. And if it's true that possession is 9/10 of the law, we claim possession at Elephant Quilt Studios here in New Orleans. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
That's really a thrill to have you.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
Let me ask you, your family is a family of piano players and dancers.
Well, yeah, in mostly non-professional ways, yes. Yeah, my daddy's family, who were from around Lafayette, my family name is Mouton. Mm. His grandfather was a Belgian immigrant to that area, and he was a composer and a musician, a horn player, and he founded the town band in Brobridge.
Oh, boy.
He also edited the newspaper in Lafayette, the Advertiser.
And so I had heard that that your parents were also great dancers,
they
actually.
They loved to dance, and they danced and fished their whole lives. I love to watch people that you know they're dancing the way they danced in high school.
Exactly.
They dance here that way in Louisiana. They definitely do it in Texas and the dance halls in Texas.
Yes.
And, of course, where all of that comes together, where I'm from, on the state line, you get all of that together. You get the Cajun, the Zydeco, the country, the soul music all mashed together and everybody dancing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And touching when they dance. I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
always the nice thing. You know, one holding the other, or I guess both holding each other.
Until somebody lets go and you spin off into the floor fan over there.
That's another kind of dance. But can you think about a song growing up that maybe your parents loved to dance to?
Yeah, let me think about that for a second. Pausing. Take the ribbons from my hair, lay it loose and let it fall, lay it soft against my skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through the night. Which is not from my childhood. That's actually from after I had moved to Austin and was playing in a country band. And, of course, that's a Kris Kristofferson song.
Yes.
That Janis Joplin would do, of all people, and both of whom, you know, I was a huge fan. But one night after I'd moved to Austin and we were playing in Houston, and I was playing that song at a club called Liberty Hall in Houston, and I looked up as we're playing, and my parents danced past the stage. I didn't know they were coming to the gig. And they danced by and waved at me, and I just, you know, then I broke up, you know, I could
exactly.
hardly sing.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful image,
yeah.
isn't it?
I told my son that if you learn to dance, you can walk into a room, and you can have the most beautiful woman in the room in your arms in 2 minutes.
That's right.
If you can dance.
Oh, that's so true. That's good advice. You're a good mama.
It kind of worked out for him, too.
Oh, good. Well, you know, you were, of course, born in Texas, but raised in Vinton, Louisiana, which
right.
is, as you say, right there on the Louisiana-Texas line.
Yeah. It's an accident of geography that there was no hospital, is no hospital in Vinton, so you would go across to Orange, Texas, to be born in a hospital. And my friend later on in my life, Gatemouth Brown,
yes.
had somewhat the opposite condition. He was actually born in Vinton, in his mama's house, his grandmother's house, and raised in Orange.
Oh, that is interesting.
He wrote a song called Born in Louisiana and Raised on the Texas Side.
Texas and Louisiana, just a few feet apart. I love both of the planets. That's where I got my start. I was born in Louisiana and raised on the Texas side. That makes me a dual citizen, more than one.
So what did people do in Vinton? I mean, back then. I mean, were most people fishermen?
No, it was an idyllic place to grow up as a child because it was small and safe and slow moving and verdant and green, and there was a canal running through it where my brother could go catch turtles, and we had the run of the neighborhood, and there were tons of kids, and. At the same time, what supported it was all the industry in Sulphur and Lake Charles and in Orange and Port Arthur and Beaumont. So it was this illusion of being this pastoral place, but it was completely surrounded by all the industry that creates all the chemicals
in the oil and gas industry.
Huh? Yeah, oh, and City Service, Olin Matheson, W.R. Grace, DuPont. All the big ones,
yeah.
all there. So that's what everybody's daddy did while we were playing in the yard.
Well, that makes sense.
But the funny thing about that, growing up in the house that we lived in until I was 14, it was right across the street from the Catholic Hall. And the Catholic Hall was where they had the Wednesday night dances in the summer. And I can remember being on the cusp of teenage, because you could go to that if you were 12 or 13, and I would be playing in the yard all day in the Louisiana summer, and come in sweaty and with the what we call grandma beads, or you know, dirt around your neck and around your wrists, and pieces of cut grass stuck to you, and skinned up knees, and come in and take a hot bath and get out of the tub still sweaty, because you never dry it off
exactly
in that weather, in that place, and no air conditioning. Put on a little sundress and go across with petticoats and go across the street to the dance.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty lovely, actually.
It was an idyllic childhood. I think a lot of us growing up at that time in that place, and maybe all children, you know, if they're lucky, remember their childhood with that kind of.
It's true. Throughout your career, you have always exuded a very ladylike aura. And I wonder if it comes from those Catholic dances of, you know what I mean, getting all dressed up in your petticoats and heading over. And
well, there was just a point at which I decided about how to present yourself at a gig where I thought my audience is worth dressing up for. And so even at times when we've broken down on the way to the gig and barely gotten there and we've thrown our gear on the stage, I can take that 4 minutes that it takes to put on a gig outfit and some lipstick. I just think we should do that.
But I also think, and I wonder if part of the reason you've come to that conclusion might be because when you come from a small town, especially, when you walk out the door, you don't only represent yourself, but you represent your family.
Yeah, well, that is true. Know? That is true. On the other hand, I find it more important that you act right.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
You behave yourself. And you also, I think I could go dress like Bozo the Clown if I'm doing something good for somebody.
That's very true. That's very true.
And that's how I live.
Shoving in a diamond, rocking in a rolling. Ever since you was old enough to know how to carry on, how you carry on. One minute you're in and the next you're gone. How you carry on.
Mom and Daddy met in Baton Rouge working for the highway department, and they moved over to Vinton because that's where his mother lived, and then when the industry started building up, he went to work in the plant.
And did your mom stop working outside the house after marriage?
She had three children, and then she worked in the 60s for Johnson's Gulf Assistance Program. She was the administrator of the Gulf Assistance Program in Benton.
And so tell everybody what they did.
Well, they called it the poverty program, but it was an opportunity. It's when Head Start started, for one thing. It was an administrative opportunity for people to come in and apply for jobs and for rental or utilities type assistance, educational opportunities. It was a clearinghouse of information and opportunity for people of a certain level of income.
Yeah. Oh, that's good work.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you were at all channeling your mom when you wrote that song, Baby, Why Not?
Oh, my niece thinks it's about her. Honestly, she thinks, and it is, it's her story. I just didn't know it at the time.
It's your niece's story.
Yeah.
It's a souvenir of Niagara Falls. And a honeymoon, and it's been some years, but I remember it all so well. We had a brand new car, and we drove it all the way from Baton Rouge. We figured, why not give it a shot? We got nothing. Why not?
a saga.
It is, but it's a very sweet song, though.
Well, like, thank you. You know, writing songs is kind of an interesting process, and it never happens for me the same way twice. And that one, a friend of mine sent me some music, and I listened to his stuff, and there was one song that had a beat kind of like that I liked, but it didn't say what I would have wanted to say. It just wasn't me. It wasn't my voice. And so I was sitting there thinking, what can I do? I need to write a song that's kind of got that beat and something like that. And I've got to tell you, I looked over in my crazy house, and there's a child's rocking chair. And there in that rocking chair is one of those satin pillows, and it's a souvenir of Niagara Falls. And when you say just that, I've got a satin pillow, it's all of a sudden, you've got the rhythm set up. You've got your first half of your first couplet.
Yes.
Written, and then the pillow told me the story after that. The whole story just unfolded.
The shoe that fits, you know, were made for each other. So, baby, why not?
We've got more Pillow Talk with Marcia Ball coming up. So if you like the show, raise your hand, or better yet, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Music Inside Out. But whatever you do, stay with us. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Marcia Ball grew up listening to Etta James and Irma Thomas, which may be why she's so good at playing the blues. But part of Ball's job is to get people moving on the dance floor. And boy, oh boy, can she do that too.
Well, you drink your whiskey, I'll drink my wine. You tend to your business and I tend to mine. I don't want no man telling me how to live my life.
In Austin, the basic three for playing in a blues club, it's the blues, the boogie, and the boogaloo.
Okay. Well, the blues, the boogie, and the boogaloo.
And the boogaloo.
Okay. And so how, I mean, I know this may sound very elementary to you, but what is the difference between the boogie and the boogaloo?
Boogaloo, a boogie, you know, it's like... And then a boogaloo is like, that's a boogaloo.
That's a
And you gotta mix them up, you know, because people don't want to dance to two in a row.
Exactly.
You can't put two shuffles in a row.
Interesting. Yeah, the boogaloo's a little sneakier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a little sneakier. But I say, well, thank you.
Fortunately for all of us, there are different beats and danceable rhythms. And the better, in my opinion, that you can mix them up and the more that you can touch upon because a friend of mine years ago, a guitar player of mine, told me, if you can make them dance, money will become a space problem. And I'm working on it.
Really? Oh, okay.
still trying to make them dance.
You did this great song, which was it's really about being young and restless in a small town and really looking forward to to going out and doing
down the road.
Yeah, down the road.
Yeah.
Good times are down the road. Mama won't let me go. I'm sneaking off in my dad's car, far behind.
is a, maybe the most autobiographical song of all of mine. Good Times Down the Road, Mama Won't Let Me Go. That was true. The sneaking off in my daddy's car, parked behind the B&B bar, which was the little bar behind on Main Street in Vinton. The B&B is still there. So, and what I say, sometimes introducing the song we're talking about, is that on Saturday nights, all those Baptists from Texas would come over to Louisiana and act like Catholics. And dance and drink and party. And from my daddy's childhood, dating from then, there were probably 40 clubs between the state line and Lake Charles, including a riverboat in the a showboat in the Louisiana side of the river. The action's always been on the Louisiana side.
Itching to get out of Vinton?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that my mother basically gave me permission. She always let me know that there was more to life than Vinton, that she didn't care if I left. And that was a gift that she gave me. And so when I graduated from high school, I went to LSU in Baton Rouge. And I knew that if I went to LSU, I wouldn't be so tempted to come home every weekend. I wouldn't be so connected to Vinton, and I would go ahead and let my real life start.
Yeah, and so it started there
and
in college.
Started there.
Wow.
And in 68, when I dropped out, and we met our first hippies, and everybody was getting in a band, and that's just kind of what I realized that was going to be that's where the fun was, and I was going where the fun was. I could get serious later, and ultimately did.
You were in a band called Gum?
That was the name of the band, yes, in Baton Rouge. And I'm still friends with them, and I guess most of us are alive.
So as the story goes, your first husband were heading out to San Francisco?
Where the guitar player from that band lived. We stopped in Austin where the other guitar player in that band lived, and we never left.
You never
He had a nice house we could live in. Actually, he had a place that we could stay as long as we wanted to, but it didn't take us a week to figure out that, A, we wanted to stay, B, that we could get jobs.
Were they music jobs?
No, we both worked in the library.
No way, you're a librarian?
Well, no, I'm not, but I did work in the library. And had things gone a different way, I probably would be a librarian.
Really?
Yes.
That's not, I mean, that's
don't
pretty
I look
noble
like
work.
A librarian?
No.
That's what everybody tells me.
Really? That you look
yes.
like a librarian?
I see you walk in there, I think you look like a librarian, and then you start playing the piano.
Great album titles of all
there
time.
There you go. Well, you know, I thought if Tampa Red can write a song and record a song called Let Me Play With Your Poodle in 1936, and I ought to be able to cover it in 1996.
Well, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're talking with Marcia Ball. She may be the only singer to ever write a love song about a guy named Eugene.
Oh, and that's a true story, too.
No way.
Absolutely.
I don't believe you.
It gets better. Eugene was the husband of a character in Austin named Big Ricky, the Guacamole Queen.
I remember when I met you.
I was so young, and that's so fast. Baggy, baggy, baby, you took my hat. Never would have hit you if I'd known you that bad. Oh, baby, baby, come on back, Eugene. Honey, come on home, Eugene. I'm so tired of being all alone. You know I can't eat and I can't sleep ever since you've been gone. Oh, honey, you know how good I can be. Spot. Told the bartender, did he see you or not? He said, tell Eugene to call me, but I guess he forgot. Eugene, honey, come on home. Eugene, I'm so tired of being all alone. You know I've been good as I can be ever since you've been gone. That's true.
It's all true. Cadillacs, yeah. Eugene.
The Rebel Drive-In. Well, the Rebel, and the funny thing about that, that you have to have been there to know, is that the Rebel Drive-In was actually the porno drive-in.
Oh, really?
So I said at the Rebel Drive-In on family night, which I think is kind of an inside joke, unless you happen to live there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Eugene is just, you know, we've all known a Eugene in life. And you know, they're very nice people, generally speaking and all. But you just never think of Eugene as commanding that kind of, like, lust.
And you'd have had to know him.
Oh, boy. I guess so. Eugene. Oh, boy. Now, that song is on Soulful Dress, right?
Yeah, that's one of the three songs I think I wrote on Soulful Dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you ever want a classic, you know, an instant classic, name it something that people will, it's like writing a Christmas song, you know.
It is. You are also, I would have to say, one of the great observers of romantic relationships. You know, the songs that you write about the beginning of romance, the middle of romance, maybe even the end of romance, you know, are very insightful. And I don't know where that comes from. You know, well, you tell me.
Well, it's kind of interesting because two of the love songs that I wrote on the Gator Rhythms record, the True Love song, The Power of Love.
Yes.
And the Falling Out of Love song, Find Another Fool.
I love Find Another Fool.
I tell my husband we're both written about him. You
know? So, wow, you're not trying to keep him comfortable, huh?
And but, you know, one of my favorite songs that I've written, and I also in part because of what inspired it, is She's So Innocent. And that I was inspired by reading poems, Edna St. Vincent Millay in particular.
Boy, those are beautiful love poems.
She's got beautiful poems. She's got a group of poems called Lyrics. And if you read those and you want to catch that sense of sweetness that she wrote with, then that's what inspired that song.
Remind us of the lyric for that song.
Oh, God. She wears her heart on her sleeve, and anything you tell her, she will believe. And when she falls in love, it's for keeps. She's so innocent. She wears Chanel number 5 and soft shoes she leaves behind. And when she dances, she holds on so tight. She's so innocent. She holds the world in the palm of her hand. She's just a girl in the arms of a man. And when she's hurt, she folds like a fan. Simple and shy, stars in her eyes.
I love that thing, that line about when she's hurt, she'll fold.
Yeah,
like
that's
a fan.
The whole thing. That's like my internal rhyme. She holds the world in the palm of her hand. She's just a girl in the arms of a man. And if she's hurt, she'll fold like a fan. It's like, oh, that's songwriting craft.
That is songwriting craft. You should be proud of that.
I haven't been playing that in a while. Damn.
But it is, I mean, it's awfully gorgeous. It really is. And there's a, you know, you sing Thanks. With a real tenderness.
She has her head in the clouds, and there's just no bringing her down. She's not a girl who's been around. She's so innocent, so
So innocent. Marcia Ball will be back with us in a minute. Stay with us.
There's a woman in Austin who wrote a book, or who created a book called What Men Know About Women, and you open it and it's completely empty. It's a $5 book full of blank pages, and she sold like 1.5 million of them. Don't you wish you'd had that idea?
That's Marcia Ball. This is Gwen Tompkins, and we're talking to each other on Music Inside Out. Ball sings about all kinds of relationships, even the ones that go pear-shaped.
But there's probably not that many real interpersonal relationship songs in my repertoire.
Let's go to the paperwork, Ms. Ball.
let's Google that.
Beating my baby, and the judge gave me
girl, you gotta be crazy. I'm gonna fix you for hitting that man. I see the judge. He said, shut up.
Somebody asked me one time, why did you sing about hitting men so much? I said, God, I didn't think about that. You have to be careful about what you put all together.
Well, nowadays, times have changed a lot, I have to say. Not in the sense that one day, you know, hitting people was fashionable and today it's not, but just that it is a sensitive topic.
Definitely.
And because there's more awareness about, you know, violence in relationships and all, then, it's not as easy to write a song, I guess,
which
these days about it.
Which brings us to St. Gabriel.
Which brings us to St. Gabriel.
Exactly.
Where does that song come from?
That's a true story.
Really?
I have a friend in Kansas who is a newspaper reporter, and he heard about this woman who had been in jail for 10 years. For killing her husband. And she was a classic abused wife. It was a self-defense situation. She hit him with a hammer. He broke down the bathroom door and she was where she was cowering. And here's the story, too. In the bathroom was an ice pick and a hammer because she had hung a razor strop on the wall next to the sink earlier that day. And when he broke down the door after beating her up and got in the bathroom, she hit him with the hammer. She didn't stick him with the ice pick. She hit him with the hammer to keep him away from her. And he fell down, and apparently she didn't even run or didn't realize. She just went basically and got in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And later when she got up, he hadn't moved. Well, ultimately she served 10 years. And when my friend Dave Ranney found out about her, and she'd been denied parole, he wrote about her, and he wrote her story. And the next time she came up for parole, she was released.
All the sad songs about leaving, none about coming home. I've been down in St. Gabriel, with nowhere to go. The sun sets in St. Gabriel, a fiery red, and the fields all around. They say I killed a man. They threatened my life. But I went to prison because I was his wife. And I had stood it as long as I could. Oh, I went down to St. Gabriel for what I had to do. Oh, St. Gabriel, St. Gabriel.
So I wrote the story, but of course I said it at the women's prison here in Louisiana. She's been in jail for 10 years, and she's standing out by the road, and she's got no place to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you say in the song that you can feel the river,
yeah,
you know what I mean, through the walls, I mean, that it's a very powerful image that, I guess, talks about the river of life.
Right. You kind of have to have been to St. Gabriel to know how close that is. And the, you know, the dead, the fields and the sunsets and everything.
Anyway, so when you think about these prisoners in this prison and they feel the river moving outside the wall, then it's, you know, it's life passing them by to such a large degree.
Yeah.
It's really strong, you know.
Thank you.
And very sad, you know, very sad.
St. Gabriel.
I don't want to make our talk about relationships all sound like it's about fisticuffs.
Bad signs, you know?
Yeah, not.
But I think that you brought out the gentleman in Mac Rebennack.
Oh, wasn't
you know,
that
and Dr.
Neat?
John. Oh, boy, yeah. And this duet that you all do, which is called I'll Never Be Free.
Right.
It's got that 50s feel to it almost.
Well,
huh?
You know what happened was he pitched me that. Basically, one time we worked a gig together up the country, Cincinnati, I think, and we were talking, and he said, there's a song you need to do. It's called I'll Never Be Free. You need to do it as a duet with somebody. Maybe me.
Now that's a salesman.
So I called him on it.
Each time I hold somebody new, grow cold thinking of you.
No one can take your place, darling, in my embrace.
I'll never be free.
What's so neat about it is the way you all finish each other's thoughts in the song, the way you all arrange the vocals.
Yeah.
You know, you sound like people who'd been together a long time.
Aww.
And who, you know. Which album is that? Let me find this.
It's
on what?
On the So Many Rivers.
No, Peace, Love, and Barbecue.
Like I said, it was on the Peace, Love, and Barbecue. Yeah, and we used Max Rhythm Section. We used David Berard and Herman Ernest.
Oh, boy. But, you know, it's funny because you record an album, or at least you release an album every 2-3 years, something like that, right?
Right.
And so, which suggests that you're doing a little living between the albums.
I have plenty of living to do. And also, I just don't think the world needs an album from me every year. And I don't really write a bunch of songs until I feel like I have something to say. And so I try to make them worth getting. I guess by the time I get one out, people are ready for another album.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, in recent years, though, you have become more and more, I mean, you've found a different voice, you know what I mean, a voice in activism.
Yes. Well, there just seems to be more to gripe about.
Do you think so? Is there more to gripe about, or is it, or have you just reached a point, you know what I mean? Like, I think I gripe more than I did 20 years ago.
You know, I was anti-nuke when they were building the nuclear power plants in Texas. I've tried to be environmentally active and as I could, and we have more uninsured people in Texas than any other state.
Now, you helped organize a series of demonstrations called Seeing Red.
Seeing Red. I did a pop-up demonstration. Basically, my friend and I, Sharon Mays and I, were talking about how awful it was that Texas cut all this funding from women's health programs. And she said, yeah, we should just dress up. And we were talking about suffragettes and women who had made a difference in what they did. And she said, we should dress up in 1913 costumes and take a train and go to Washington and protest. And I said, I have another idea. I said, we're sitting here in the Capitol. We are 10 minutes from the Capitol. We should just dress up in red and go out there and bang on pots and pans like Molly Ivins said we needed to do, that nothing will happen unless we get out in the streets and bang on pots and pans. And the first time we had about 300 people, And the second time, the second week, which was spring break, we had about 500 or 600 people. I just wanted to say and show that there were people who cared.
And so was there a happy result or no?
No.
You know, it's funny because as a performer, as a singer, you know, I mean, you tour a lot. You see a lot of how people live and all. And so in a way, you do have kind of a vantage point that is, that most people don't have.
Yeah, I see a lot of that. And I also have a platform. And people resent sometimes, especially if you don't agree with them or they don't agree with you. They resent you using your platform. And I understand that my job is to entertain, primarily, and especially me. I'm not one of those angst-filled folk singers who people come to hear about that stuff. They come to me to dance their troubles away. And I understand that. But at the same time, when you get toward the end of the night, people want to hear St. Gabriel, and they want to hear The Power of Love, and they want to hear Louisiana, which is in its way, a protest song. They want to hear Where Do You Go, which is the song that Tracy Nelson and I wrote about the same thing, about poverty and homelessness.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by Katrina and written post-Katrina, but it really is about the larger question of where do you go when you can't go home? And so I can couch it in a song. I can write a song about it, and people will listen to it.
And so what would be the song that you'd like us to play to take you out on?
That's How It Goes.
That's How It Goes.
That's the song I wrote to say how I feel, really, about when I woke up this morning, I saw the sun was shining at my door.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Marsha Ball joined us at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans. You've been listening to Music Inside Out. Each week, we hear from the people of Louisiana who make the music we call our own. If you'd like to hear this show again or any other show we've done, visit our website at musicinsideout.org. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Sean Collins, Rick G. Nelson, and Jason Ryan. Our theme music was composed and performed by James Booker. Ron Biava is WWNO's Marketing and Development Manager, and the General Manager of WWNO is Paul Mawson. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Music Inside Out is underwritten by the Historic New Orleans Collection, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, and WWNO. For more information on how you can support our program, go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.